Luke 17, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We're just going to read a few verses tonight. Begin reading the verse number 11. You follow along down to verse number 19. And that'll be our starting point tonight, kind of a launching point. We'll be in Colossians chapter 3 as well. That's one of the verses along the way. But Luke and Colossians will be our main verses this evening. Luke 17, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." White as snow, right? "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." Here's our text tonight. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that returned to give God glory, save the stranger." He said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And tonight I want to talk to you tonight about a topic that many would consider to be simple and elementary, but God, I believe, labels it as very important. I want to preach tonight on being thankful and giving thanks. And the believer is to have a heart of gratitude and appreciation. So tonight I want to talk about where are the 9. Well, tonight, thank you, Father, for these verses. Thank you, dear God, that your word, Lord, has an answer for all that we need. And Father, I find in your word tonight that believers are to be different than unbelievers in many areas of their life. And in one area, Father, we are to be thankful and have a heart of gratitude because of being a new creature in Christ. Now, Lord, tonight I pray you'd help us tonight speak to hearts and meet the needs of our people tonight. We pray in your name. Amen. Where are the 9? A parent begins to teach a child at a young age manners. And we may think that that's simple or elementary, but I find in the scripture as you read the Bible that God labels manners as being very important. And so a parent begins to teach a child manners to say, thank you and please and you're welcome, excuse me, yes sir and no sir, and yes ma'am and no ma'am. He's going to be kind to people, have good manners. And by the way, you know, I think that's important for young people to learn manners. And to teach them manners, and teach them to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and teach them those things. And we live in a generation today. You know, when I was growing up, you just got whooped. I mean, my parents and my grandparents, in fact, our whole church believed in spankings. If your parents didn't spank you, somebody in church would spank you, and they just grab you up and whoop you, and they'd tell your parents on you, and then they'd whip you again. And we live in a generation people don't believe in spanking. And you're going to have a hard time teaching your children manners without a little pat every now and then on the right side of where God created to be patted. And so anyway, it's easier to teach a child to say thank you than it is to teach a child to be thankful. And God tonight, I find that if you look at the scripture tonight, we'll look in a little bit here, but God wants us as believers to be thankful and to give thanks as well. We begin tonight with this account of these 10 lepers. These 10 lepers, verse number 12, the Bible says they stood afar off. Why? Because they were unclean. They had leprosy. They were doomed to die with this very painful disease that would eat away at their body, consume them until they died. They were separated from society. You thought about social distancing now. They weren't to come near anybody. And when they did travel, they had to put their hand over their face and arm over their face and cry out unclean and stay away from people. They were an outcast. They were estranged from their families and their jobs and occupations. And so they lived a life of doom. Verse number 13, we find that as Christ came to their village and came near, that they cried unto him and said, have mercy up on us. Lord, we need a miracle. We're asking you for a favor to help us. And verse number 14, we find that Christ answered their prayers, their request. He says to them, go show thyself to a priest. Why? Because a priest could declare them to be clean, to be free from leprosy, which would give them the right to go back to their families, to their jobs, to back to society. And so he says, go and show thyself to thy priest. And out of obedience, they went and to be declared to be clean. And God, of course, Christ cleansed them and answered their prayer. Then we find out, verse number 15, the Bible says that this one, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. That would tell me tonight that I would assume tonight from that verse that the other nine were Jews, most likely, and they knew better. They asked the Lord, and they called the Master, have mercy upon us, and they were cleansed. Only the Samaritan, this rejected man, this half-breed, this man that was an outcast, not just because of his leprosy, because of who he was, but he's thankful. He's thankful. It would seem tonight that the one you'd expect the least from gave the most. You would expect that these Jews would have given Christ thanks for what he had done for them, had saved their lives, restored them to their families, restored them whole and clean. Only one gave them thanks. And so where were the nine? They were unthankful. It seems the vast majority of people beg for blessings and for favors, but are unthankful when the blessings and favors come and the answer is given. People have a big hand and a short memory. I want to say tonight, first of all, introduction, that being unthankful is a dangerous attitude for all men, an unbecoming trait for believers. It's a dangerous attitude for all men, but it's unbecoming also of believers. Look with me tonight at a couple places before we get to Colossians, and turn from there, and let's look at the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Being unthankful is a dangerous attitude to have. We read in verse number 21 of Romans chapter 1, the Bible says here, but when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. It reveals their heart. It reveals their rejection, their unbelief, their rebellion. It says that neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Being unthankful is one of the first steps to rebellion and being a reprobate. Being unthankful is evidence of a foolish heart. An unthankful man entertains vain imaginations, the Bible says, and it's their first downward steps to rebellion. And so when a man or a woman is unthankful, now listen to me, parents, tonight, you want to see if your children are rebellious in their heart? Just you engage it on how thankful they are. An unthankful spirit is one of the first indicators of rebellion in the heart of an individual. Whether it's a child, whether it's a man or a woman. And so when a person becomes unthankful, whether it's in their family or in the house of God, in their job place, it's an indicator that something is wrong in their heart. It's one of the first steps of rebellion. You gotta watch that in your children and watch that in the house of God. When folks become unthankful here in the house of God and unthankful for the church or their church family or for those that God has placed here, right away red flags go off that something's going on in their life as well. That's not hitting on all eight cylinders. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. This dangerous attitude of unthankfulness. We think it's just bad manners, but the Lord puts a premium on being thankful. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I think I want 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think I do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, just a few pages more to the right. Look at verse with number 1 with me. We'll read a few verses here tonight to get the context. It says verse number 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times. Hard times. Scornful times. Scary times shall come. And God here, he tells us tonight what will manifest or be manifest in those perilous times. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Right after being disobedient, that heart of rebellion, we find the character trait or the attribute of being unthankful. Verse number 3 says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So it's amazing that right in the middle of all these egregious sins, that God labels something that we think is trivial. And he says that unthankfulness is as part of these wicked sins. And so tonight we are adamant as believers that if a person's unholy and a life of addictions and alcoholics and fornicators and adulterers, that there should be some separation. He says, from such withdraw thyself. But God did say, he put in there the same, what we don't pay much attention to, but God did say, if a person's unthankful, from such turn away. And that's pretty amazing. God puts now listen, I'm not saying tonight that we ought to be snooty and judgmental and holier than thou, but I'm saying tonight that God puts a premium on what we think is no big deal. God puts a premium on being thankful. He says that unthankfulness is a sign of an evidence of a godless and a selfish generation. God said one of the things you're going to find in a generation that's godless and selfish, the Christ rejectors, so they're going to be unthankful. He puts that right in the middle of rebellion and unholiness. And so God puts a premium on thankfulness. And he says this. He said from such withdraw thyself. Now, look with me at Colossians chapter number 3. Turn back to Colossians 3. We're just kind of hit a few verses here as well tonight. I'm going to give you a few more verses this evening, and then we'll look at a few points tonight. And let's just kind of hold your Bible in one place. Colossians 3, verse number 1, I want you to notice sort of the very first phrase here. Kind of sets up the context. If ye then be risen with Christ. God makes a distinction about being saved. He makes a distinction in our life. If you've been saved, been born again, crucified with him, risen again, there should be a difference in a Christian's life. Not just how we behave, but what's in our heart. We find in verse number God said, listen, he said the born again, spirit-filled believer is different from the unsaved, disobedient unbeliever. We are different because we are born again. We are a new creature. We are different because the Spirit of God lives within us. Not because of who we are, but because who lives within us. We are different because our life is hid with Christ, and Christ is our life. That's why we're different. Verse number 5 says, of the same verse, mortify therefore your members. We find in verse number 8 the Bible says, but now ye also put off all these. So tonight I'm not going to go down that road because I'm going a different direction, but we see that some things that we're to put off. Why? Because we are risen with Christ. We're born again. We're believers. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. We're to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so some things that we're to put off. Then we find in verse number 12, it says this, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And so we find that there's some things that we're to put off, some things that we're to put on. Why? Because we are believers, we're saved. We are a new creature in Christ. Listen, we're no longer flesh and this flesh and blood, but now there's a Spirit of God that lives within us. We've been changed, and he is our Savior, and our life is here with Christ and God. And so we find tonight that verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. Now watch what it says here, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Why? Because you're risen with Christ. You put off some things. You put off the flesh. You put off uncleanness, ungodliness. You put on righteousness and holiness. You put on some things of God. So we're to be thankful. That word means to be highly pleased. Highly pleased. Look at verse number 17 as well. It says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now watch what the Bible says here. We see the verbs here. We see the sentence structure. One says, be ye thankful. That's what my heart is. The other says, giving thanks. That's my behavior. So tonight God says, I want you to be thankful and give thanks. You know, we live in a day and age where people want to make profession about being a Christian without any Christian behavior. People all the time, well, I love, and they name who they love or what they love, but they never demonstrate love in any way or capacity besides the words they say. Christians today want to say, well, I'm holy and I'm righteous because I'm saved. And that is true, but your behavior better match then what you're saying. We have become good at being hypocrites and phonies, that same making a statement, this is what I am, this is in my heart, but we don't want to behave what we profess and claim to be in our heart. And God said, I want you to be thankful and give thanks. Watch Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6 and 7. Watch what it says there. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. There's the heart and the behavior. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The Lord says that one of the main attributes that should be evident in your life as being born again and rooted in the faith is abounding with thanksgiving. That tells me that the more I'm grounded in the faith and rooted and built up in the faith, the more thanksgiving I should be. The more thankful I should be. It should be abounding. It should just kind of ooze out of us. No, you say, well, that's not who I am. Well, that's what God wants you to be. That's what faith makes you be. Faith results in thanksgiving. Look at chapter 4, verse number 2 of the same book. Verse number 2 says, continue in prayer. Prayer is pretty important, right? Okay, three of you believe that. The rest are still kind of surveying that. Prayer is pretty important for the believer. So we're to continue our Christian life in prayer and watch in the same, that's watching in prayer, what? With thanksgiving. So as we live this life and as we wait for Christ to come, we're watching for the Lord's return. He says, listen, if you're going to watch and you're going to be faithful to the end, continue in prayer and with the same, also with thanksgiving. So the Lord puts a premium on being thankful because of what He's done in our life and our heart. He wants us to be thankful, but to give thanks. Look back at Ephesians chapter number 5. Hold your place in Colossians and come back to Ephesians, please. A few pages to your left. And look at with me at verse number 3, Ephesians 5, 3. It's amazing to me as they think about it. Sometimes we kind of just hurry over these things. But it's amazing to me how the premium that God puts on being thankful. Verse number 4 says this, verse number 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints. We come a long way, baby. Lord said, I don't want you even talking about it. And now we have no problem people doing it, living it, watching it. And now if you say anything about it, well, you're being judgmental. They got every reason in the book why you're wrong and they're right. But God said, don't even let me named among you as believers. That's pretty serious stuff. Look at verse number 4 now, though. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. The Lord said, listen, you want to clean up your spiritual life? You want to live spiritual? This, by the way, this is convicting for all of us, not just for you, but for the preacher. He said, you want to clean up your spiritual life and not live fleshly? He said, be thankful. Be thankful. Give thanks. My question tonight, well, I think there's one more. Yeah, look at verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. It's not an option. God commands to be filled with the Spirit of God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's something, parents, you know, one thing that's good for a parent, if you can hear your kids singing good songs. A house that has music and singing in it, it's a good sign that something going good there. Okay? Look at verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God said, listen, He said this, a sign of being filled with the Spirit of God is giving thanks. So tonight, we think it's just a manner that young kids should learn, but God puts a premium on it for all people. So here's the question. How can we be thankful? So now I'm going to give you a few points on how to be thankful. How to be thankful and give thanks. Number one is this. Recognize that you have more than you deserve. Recognize that you have more than you deserve. Leprosy was killing 10 men. They were all doomed to die. They had no hope outside of a miracle. And they were outcast. They had to live in a leper colony. They had no cure. In fact, there's still no cure for leprosy today. And they were going to die a very painful, a very slow death, away from family and friends. And so they were doomed to die. And Christ came by and healed them at their request, at their prayer. And only one came back and said, thank you. Where were the nine? They had this idea, this mindset. We deserve this. It's owed to us. Tonight we have more than what we deserve. This dangerous mindset is devilish. That I deserve it. It's owed to me. I have it coming. It's my right. As a preacher, I hear that over and over again among people. Well, this is what I deserve. Anything less than hell, there's more than you deserve. If we would understand that I've received more than I deserve. And so that we have to realize, how dare we act like spoiled children and stomp our feet and pout the attitude that God owes me. God owes me. He owes me what I want. He owes me. He owes me. As long as I'm praying, putting money in the offering plate, that somehow God owes me. We're a bunch of spoiled Americans to think that God should be just, you know, at a beck and call. That we can blow money frivolously and blow our lives frivolously, and all of a sudden when we want things to be different, that God is going to be right there and wiggle a bell and sprinkle pixie dust and change everything for our life, and to realize that tonight that we have more than what we deserve. If you're not in hell tonight, you are blessed. This idea, you know, when kids say, I deserve it, it's my right. You parents, if you had any kind of common sense at all, that should get your cackles up. Your response should be, I'll show you what you deserve. Come with me, my son. How do you think God feels? You point a finger at God and say, I deserve! It's my right! You owe me! And the whole country today is filled with that kind of nonsense. And so people are unthankful. How to be thankful? Recognize that you have more. And by the way, young folks tonight, I know that there's things that are rough all over the place. But tonight, I want you to realize tonight, whether you're in a home that's been broken, or a home that's not been broken, you have more than you deserve. You need to be thankful for those things. So number one, recognize you have more than you deserve. Number two, esteem the investment of others. Esteem the investment of others. Jesus Christ heard the voice of these lepers. He took upon himself their infirmities and gave them of his virtue. He invested in them. I like what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for economy faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul said he was faithful, but it was Christ that invested in him, enabled him, helped him, encouraged him, strengthened him, gave him wisdom and power to preach the gospel. And you have to realize tonight that we have been invested into, and so esteem the investment of others around you. I want to say tonight that I'm not trying to parrot Obama, because I don't believe anything that guy ever said. But we didn't get here by ourselves. As bad as your life may be, with homes or broken marriages or just obstacles and heartaches, you didn't get here by yourself. You had family and friends that invested in you. You had grandpas and grandmas that took time and prayed for you, invested in you behind the scenes when you weren't watching. They invested in your life. Your parents, even if they were wicked parents, at the very least, they still invested in you. Invested in you. Preachers. Listen, I wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for my preacher. Invested in me. And though we don't get along all the time, and we haven't talked for years, I still owe him a great debt of gratitude and honor. Because of investment in me as a young man. So we have to esteem that. Tonight there's a lack of esteem among young folks that will esteem their parents and grandparents of great value, that those folks have invested in me. We've lost this sense of gratitude and loyalty among people. Here's the reason why. Because your thought life is this. It's owed to me. They owed it to me. Tonight you'll be thankful that you were born here in America with good parents. God, with his wisdom and his sovereignty, allow you to be born right here in this country at this time. You could have been born in a third world country to a Muslim parents that would have abused you and neglected you. But God has been infinitely good to us. You have to esteem the investment of others. I think if a husband would esteem the investment of his wife, it would help their marriage. If a wife would esteem what her husband has done for the family, for her. You can find something. And so esteem those that invest. By the way, be thankful for them. You know, I try to tell my boys, listen, you don't owe me anything. I'm not going to hold over your head what I've done as a parent, because those are some of the things I'm supposed to do as a parent. But I just would like in your years as adults a little bit of respect and honor. Just a little gratitude. And so tonight, esteem, greatly value the things that other people have done for you. Don't ever get to a place where I did this by myself. I'm a self-made person, because there's no such thing. Number three is this: value what is important. God says here in Colossians chapter 3 that we are the risen man with Christ, seeks those things which are above. The converted man sets their affections on things that are above, not on things that are of things on the earth. Not all things are of equal importance. You see, tonight I guess I'm glad to be American, but Americans tonight are spoiled. And unthankful and ungrateful. And Americans have a fleshly and carnal appetite and priorities. We give ourselves to things that which do not last nor will benefit us in eternity. We somehow think that if I have a nice bucket of bolts in the driveway, and a nice home, and a life of luxury, that I will be happy, that I will have value, and I'll be somebody. And your car don't make you anything. And how nice your home doesn't mean anything about who you are. I have met some of the greatest people in this life that just live in simple homes. No fancy decor, no fancy furniture, just simple homes. And I have met some folks that are really almost worthless to this life that live in some pretty nice homes. And have a lot of nice things. But having nice things don't make you important, doesn't make you of value. See, you have to value what's important. You see, tonight we chase the things that are not important and we neglect what is important. So you have to value what's important in your life. I have to realize tonight that, listen, my life's important because I'm risen with Christ. My life is here with Christ in God. And so I'm blessed because of Christ Jesus. I'm blessed to be His God's Son. And that's to be of great value to me. Hey, I've been blessed with family. I'll tell you something. At the end of your life, the things you own won't mean anything, but the people around you will mean everything. You're not going to care about the end of your life what you own. Will mean nothing to you. Those folks that you have around you, that you've invested in, that you've cared for, that means something to you. I think that sometimes we make the mistake of not caring for what's important until it's too late. You have to value tonight what's important in your life. Don't wait to value your wife until she's gone. Don't wait to value your parents until they're gone. Don't wait to value your children until they're out of the house and gone, never see you. And then you wonder, well, I'm lonely. Where's my kids? The house is too quiet. I'm not sure if that ever happened, but stop focusing on stuff and neglecting people. Be thankful for people. Philippians 1:3, this one verse of many that says this: I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Look up here tonight. This is not time to be sleeping. You young folks, listen to me tonight. It's very important, I think. I'm not just trying to get on people tonight. I'm trying to help us, because God puts a premium on this. And God said, listen, He makes the premium that we should be thankful for people. Our families, our spouses, our children, our church family. So, preacher, our church family has issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where else are you going to go? Who are you going to find coming that doesn't have issues or problems? If we screen everybody at the door that said, listen, what are your problems? There won't be anybody here. Be an empty pulpit, an empty pew. So we're going to be thankful for others. Number four, be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Listen to these verses. 1 Timothy 6, 5-8 says this, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Now listen to this. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing in this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. Now listen to me. And having food and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Content people tend to be thankful people. If you're never content, you're seldom thankful. So preacher, I know, we live in a day and age with a lot of temptation around us. And I'm one of those guys that everything I see is like, I wouldn't mind having one of those. In the wintertime, I want a snowmobile. Summertime, I want a boat. You know, in the fall, I want a new bow. You know, and I always want a new gun, and I always want a new car. Every season. Yeah, but we are sometimes so discontented, and when you're discontent and never satisfied, it's hard to be thankful. So God says this, and he said, listen, don't ever think that gain is godliness. In fact, he says, from such withdraw thyself. Get away from, because they're unthankful. He said this, though, if you have food and raiment, be content. Now, that's not our nature to be content, so that's what Paul said, I've learned to be content. You know how he did that? He learned to be thankful, too. If you read any of Paul's writings and his epistles, you'll find over and over again, he was thankful. I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. I'm thankful for remembrance of you. I'm thankful for you. This always over. I'm thankful continually because he was content. So tonight when you're tempted to despair about what you don't have, you need to be thankful for the things you do have. Remember that old hymn? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Yeah, I know, preacher. I know. I don't have. Well, what do you have? Did you eat this morning? Did you eat today? Got food for tomorrow? Got a roof over your head? Clothes to wear? God says, be content. But, I know. So to be content. Be content with what you have. Number five. This is all pretty good, I think. You don't have to amen it, but I think it's pretty good. Good advice. Number five, how to be thankful. Listen to me now. This is going to be a hard one. Work for what you want and what you need. Work for what you need and what you want. Listen to this verse, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11 and 12. For we hear that there are some which walk disorderly among you, working out of awe. But our busy bodies, now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now listen, it's not in there, but that guy's thankful. The busy body is not very thankful. He's always comparing. Oh, I don't have what they've got. Wish I had that. Oh, I deserve what they've got. But they don't want to work for it. And God says, listen, if you need bread, go get a job and work for it. If you have a need, get it, work for it. I understand this generation doesn't want to work. You know, people give me a hard time. Well, you work one day a week. Well, come follow me around sometimes. Spend a week with me. We'll see who works a week. Work one day a week. No, there's days I have pretty easy. I'm not saying that. I like what I do. And I don't have to have the job that some of you do where you work hard physically, but I put some time in. I was learning at an early age, very young, that when something's given to me, I'm not nowhere near as thankful, do I value it as much if I've worked for it. If I had to work for it. If I had to go out there and all of a sudden work, I was going to realize the value of a dollar and how I can work for 2 or 3 days just to get the thing I want. That's when I realized, wait a minute, those 3 days of work don't really equal what I want to get. I'm pretty happy without it. We got to, listen, work. You want to be thankful? Then work for what you need and what you want. And I know I'm getting old and fat, but I've always just enjoyed working. It's hard for me to sit in my office, really is. Because I like to be busy. I remember we were raised, my grandpa was, you know, left the Amish, but the Amish never left him. And when I became a pastor, he said, oh, you don't have to work anymore, do you now? Because his idea was, if you ain't working with your hands and labor and sweating, then you ain't working. But I've always enjoyed those things. And as a pastor, I thank God for where God's placed me, where I can be full time and have the time to do what God has called me to do. But for years, I've worked 2-3 jobs. Pastor the church, mow the grass of the church, clean the church, took care of 2 widows in our church, mowed their grass, took care of them, plus worked the job driving the school bus and roofing houses. Don't tell me you can't work if you want to get something done. All these excuses why people don't want to work, let them not think. Well, listen, my boys learned at an early age, if you want something, you're going to go get a job and work for it. And that's a good thing to do. So now, listen, this may be off the topic a little bit, but I think it's pretty close. If you want something, get a job, work for it. You moms and dads, be careful that you don't spoil your kids by just giving them what they want. Let them work for it. Let them work for it. Number 6. Number 6, say thank you. Seems pretty elementary, but it's pretty important. I'm going to show you why tonight. We're coming down to the end here, so stay with me. Over 100 times in the Bible, there's over 100 verses in the Bible that we're told to give thanks and offer thanks over and over again. Give thanks, offer thanks. God wants us to be thankful and give thanks. He wants us to have our heart right, but also our behavior right. Now, we give thanks to God because He's holy. He's merciful. He loves us. We give thanks to God for our daily bread, His blessings. God, thank you for the food that we're about to eat. Don't be such a reprobate that you don't even thank God for your food. Thank you, dear Lord, for the food that we're about to eat. I remember years ago, my grandpa was an usher, and the pastor called him up to be an usher, to take the offering. Back in the church where we lived, we took offerings every Sunday. And so, Grandpa came up there, and he said, Brother Dave, please pray for the offering. And Grandpa had the same prayer for the food every week. He prayed the same food every time, for the same prayer every time he prayed for the food. Lord, thank you for the food that we're about to eat. Let's do our bodies. And while we all laughed because he was praying for the food, not the offering. He's getting ahead of the game because he's hungry, right? We thank God for our daily bread, for His blessings. But we gotta learn to say thank you. Say thank you to others. Say thank you to your wife for cooking a meal for you. Holiday meal goes by, I don't thank my wife. Thank you for supper tonight. Thank you for breakfast. I give her a hard time, but thank you for breakfast. Thank you for making my lunch. She irons my clothes. I say thank you for ironing my clothes. Thank you. Say thanks to those who have helped you, invested in you. Say thanks to your parents and to your children. Hey, say thanks to the people around you. Say thank you. Now listen to me tonight. Saying thank you will help you be thankful. Now here's this mindset that we have. This is a wicked mindset. Well, preacher, if I don't feel like it in my heart, I'm not doing it. We think that somehow a wrong heart is an excuse for bad behavior. Well, if I don't feel like forgiving somebody, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. You already are, so just go with the program. Well, if I don't feel like saying thank you, if I'm not thankful in my heart, I'm not going to say it. If I don't feel like I love that person, I'm not going to say it. God bless your little self. Let me show you a verse that's going to help you. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. A bad attitude, a wicked heart does not excuse bad behavior and bad manners. Look at Proverbs 16, look at verse number 3. Proverbs 16:3. Watch this. Saying thank you will help you be thankful when you're not. Proverbs 16:3 says this. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. See, sometimes we have things backwards. Now listen, I know that we should be thankful in our heart. We should love in our heart. We should be holy in our heart. The fact of the matter is sometimes we as people, we are not. There are times I'm not thankful. There are times I'm not loving. There are times I don't want to forgive anybody. That's all of us. Our hearts are always right. But if we have bad behavior, it's because our heart's not right. We make a mess of a lot of things. Look up here now. Listen, being tired is not an excuse for bad behavior. Being sick is not an excuse for bad behavior. Well, I don't feel good, so I'm going to be a jerk. Grow up. Be a Christian. Here's what God says. God said this. He said, commit thy works unto the Lord, And I thought, so be established. He said this, if you start saying thank you, you will be thankful. First, I don't feel like I'm thankful. I don't feel thankful. Then start saying thank you. Thank you, Mom, for making the meal. Thank you, Mom, for washing my clothes. Thank you, honey, for fixing the car. Thank you for putting gas in the car. Hey, thank you, young. Thank you, child. Thank you, daughter. Thank you, son. Thank you, pastor. Thank you, church member. Say thank you, and you'll be thankful. God said, listen, if you'll just do the right thing, he goes, I'll fix your heart. Now, listen, our heart should be right. I understand that. I'm not getting it. But sometimes, let me tell you something. If our heart's right, our behavior will be right. But what about when our heart's not right? Sometimes our behavior can fix our heart if we do the right thing. And so being a crab is no excuse for bad behavior when it comes to a Christian. Well, I just feel grumpy. Good, feel grumpy, but do the right thing. You can still behave right. Well, I don't feel preachy. You just understand my problems. Yeah, your problem is you're a nitwit. You're stubborn. We have a wicked heart. That's our problem. And you're going to dig in and bow up and say, well, I don't know. No. God says, do the right thing. Do right. Say thank you. And I'll give you a thankful heart. I'll change your heart. Your heart's, listen, your heart's too big for you to fix. Do you ever notice during the day, if you get up grumpy and you act grumpy, you get more grumpy? No, only Victor? You know, sometimes you think, hey, if I just get it all out at once, I'll be fine. No, the more I act grumpy, the grumpier I get. I mean, it's just coming. And there's no mercy. I mean, I find a problem with everything. My wife can make the best meal. I'm like, oh, look at you overcooked this. And where's Melissa? I only got one cube of ice. Where's all my ice? And you just get grumpy over everything. So how do you fix being grumpy? You have to act kind. You have to act loving. And so, that's a whole other message probably, huh? First thing is being grumpy. So Christ said this, if you commit your works to me, I'll fix your heart. So say thank you. Learn to say, listen, well, preacher, I'm not a kid anymore. All the more reason for you to be thankful. Listen, say something. The way we behave as Christians, we wouldn't tolerate some of that from our own children. It's amazing how adults can... Well, did you say thank you? And we get our kids. Say thank you to the pastor. Say thank you. And then all of a sudden we just, where's our thankfulness? Then we wonder why a generation is going to hell. Now, number seven and last thing, I'll close. You're probably saying thank you. Number seven, hang on to your hats now. You're not going to like this. Give to others. Give. That's a hard thing for people to do is give. The Bible says here, listen, Christ said this. So here are Jesus Christ's words. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I find that giving people are the most thankful people. Selfish people, not very thankful. That's mine! That's mine! It belongs to me! I worked hard for this! It's mine! If they want to get, they can get their own! It's mine! It's mine! They're very unthankful people. You want to be thankful? Learn to be a giver. Listen, crack open your wallet, blow the dust out of there, grease up the hinges that hasn't been open for so long because it's just a tight wad. Grease the hinges, pull a few bucks out of there, and help somebody. Preacher, I just can't afford to help anybody. Quit buying pop then. Why is Casey's, what is it? You have no problem giving to Casey's and Quickstar, McDonald's. Listen, I'm preaching to me tonight too. We have no problem paying for internet bills and cell phones and movies, Redbox. When it comes to giving to 10 people, well, that's why you're not very thankful. Be givers. Preacher, I can't afford. Can you give somebody a thank you card? You can give somebody a note, a letter, an encouragement, a meal. And we all have things that we can do to be givers. So tonight, these are, I think, seven simple things to help us to be thankful and give thanks. We think, preacher, you make a big deal out of a small thing. No, Jesus Christ made a big deal. You're right. out of being thankful. You can't hardly read through this book without finding some command or some mention of being thankful. It's a mark of being spirit-filled. Being unthankful is a mark of being a rebel. The book says. So tonight, you want a better home? Be thankful. Want a better husband? Just start thanking him. He'll kill himself to please you then. Then you'll be out of it. Then you'll be like, oh, I can start all over again. Get a better one. I'm thankful. Want to have a better church? Be thankful. Want to have more money? Be thankful what you got. Want a better walk with God? Be thankful. God puts a great premium on being thankful. Lord, tonight we come to you, Lord. And Father, I think that we all as people at times wrestle this thing about being thankful. And Lord, I don't say thank you, Lord, near enough, Lord, to you, to those around me. Lord, this week I thought about my grandpa and my grandma, and my mom and dad, Lord, who invested in me a great deal. Lord, I know as a young person, Lord, there were times when I was very unthankful. I didn't even think about being thankful. Lord, tonight if I could somehow call them up and tell them, Lord, I tell them a million times over and over again, thank you for what you did for my life and for me. Because it helps, I pray, Lord, tonight to be good Christians, to have a good, thankful heart, and Lord, to give thanks to you, to those around us. We pray tonight in your name. Let's all stand tonight as Penelope begins to play invitation song. Tell you to come, would you come? Tonight, have you been thankful? Have you been thankful tonight? If not, tonight, a good time to get right with God and those around you. Be thankful this evening.